Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response midday for the 20th of Av. Today we're going to be talking with the Chatam Sofer about what's included in a partnership. This is from Shul Chatam Sofer, Chasam Sofer, Chelek Hey, Volume 5, in the Choshen Mishpat section, Simon Tzadi Vav 96. And here is the question. Two guys in the responsum, they're called Nachum and Yaakov. They rented a carriage together. So they took it in partnership together, and they were bringing wool to market to the Pest market, like in Budapest, to the Pest market. And they each have their own wool, but they rented the carriage together. On the way, Nachum found an opportunity to buy some more wool, and when Yaakov hears about it, he says he wants it to be in a partnership. And Nachum says, of course, because the rule is that if you rent a carriage together, then you're partners all the way to the market, and you don't even have to say it. And that's what it is. Then they got to Pest, and they said, so they'll each go up. They agreed that it would be a good idea if they, in Pest, brought some leather or hides back to where they're from. So they agreed that, in other words, they brought wool to sell, and then they're going to buy leather and bring it back, like import-export. So Nachum says to Yaakov, yes, let's do this in partnership like we did the wool that we bought on the way in partnership. So Yaakov goes, and he buys the hides, the leather, and then when he buys it, he says to the other guy, to Nachum, if you give me 20 gold pieces for my time and trouble in going to get the leather, then it'll be a partnership. And Nachum didn't answer, and then when they got back to their hometown, or their home city, they tell the whole story to a certain ish who they think of as Yirei Shemayim, and this Yaakov didn't deny that, Nachum didn't deny anything. But now he says that when he got to Beis Din, now this Yaakov says that there was no agreement that he should buy the leather at all. So in other words, Yaakov is now saying, I want the merchandise all for myself, and I claim we never, in fact, agreed that we would be in a partnership about it, and I don't want to be a partnership about it. So this is the question that was asked to the Chasam Sofer. What is the story? Meaning, so the question is, what happens with these hides? Does Yaakov have to let Nachum be a partner in them? Yaakov is now saying he thinks they never agreed on the partnership. He's claiming they never agreed on the partnership. And even if they had agreed, would that be binding on Yaakov? And what about Yaakov's claim that he should get reimbursed for the effort that he put into it? So now the Chatam Sofer starts off his answer. And so this is something I've often skipped when I present these kinds of stories, these kinds of ideas, that lots of these responses, most of these responses, have these flowery introductions in which the meshiv, the person saying, giving the response, greets the other person at length. And the people sending a question do it at length. So I always thought of it as just really pro forma, as the kind of thing that it's a politeness, and you say various things for various people because you want to be polite, and the way you choose it is what's in your mind. But the Chasam Sofer starts off with this response by saying, Lo yadati achanehu ach mikotle kidvo nikar debar uryan tlitayhu. I don't really know how to respond, how to address you, because I don't know who you are. So I don't know how to give you the proper respect. But he says, but from within your question, we don't have the full question here. Within your question, it's clear that you're a bar orient litai. Now, bar orient litai is a phrase that comes from the Gemara in Shabbat. And I'm going to digress to know the phrase, because the Chasam Sofer is using it as a mark of how we understand Torah to be a threefold experience. Bar orient litai. So the Gemara in Shabbat, Daf Pechet, tells the story of a certain Galilah, a certain person from the Galil, who darshaned in front of Rav Chisda, and he said, "Brich Rachmana, the Yahiv Uriyan Tlitoi Le'ama Tlitoi." We thank Hashem who gave an Uriyan Tlitoi, a threefold Torah, Le'am Tlitoi, to a threefold people, Al Yedei Tlitoi, at the hands of a threefold, we'll get to it, Biyom Tlitoi, on a third day, Biyarcha Tlitoi, on a third month. So Rashi explains those phrases in the following way. Uriyan Tlitai means a threefold Torah is Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. Right? Torah and Navi and three parts of Tanakh, Le'am Tlitoi, to a threefold nation, be a nation that's divided by Kohanim, Levi'im, and Yisraelim. Al Yad Tlitoi, by virtue of a 3-1, which would be Moshe, because he is the third child born to Yocheved. There was Miriam, Aaron, and then Moshe. Biyom Tlitoi, on the third day after the Jews were preparing and separating from their wives to prepare. That's the way Rashi has it. When it comes to Orient Tlitoi, the Ritva quotes Rashi, and then he points out that if that's what you're going to believe, then you have to say that when we say that Hashem gave an Urian Tlitoi, a threefold Torah, it has to be that we mean that it was all hinted at Sinai, right? Because Hashem didn't give us a Tanakh at Sinai. Hashem gave us a Chamishah Chumashi Torah at Sinai, but not Tanakh. So that's what the Ritva says it. So one option is Tanakh, Scripture, is threefold, and it was all hinted at Har Sinai, meaning that in some sense, the rest of Scripture was implicit or indicated by the giving of the Torah at Sinai. The Ritva then quotes other opinions. Another opinion has the Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, Torah Shebalpeh, the oral Torah, and Sitrei Torah, and the esoteric hints of Torah, or the secrets of Torah. Now, the secrets are like Maaseh Breishit, the way the world was created, Maaseh Merkava, things of metaphysics, Tameh Mitzvot, the perfect way to understand the reason behind the mitzvot. That would be the Sitrei Torah, meaning there's a written Torah, there's an oral Torah. Those are both exoteric. They're the kinds of things that everybody's allowed to know. Then there are Sitrei Torah, the secret ones. That would be another way to think of it as threefold. And then the Ritva says, and some say that it's Sipurei HaTorah, or one part of the Torah. Then the Mitzvot is another part, and Sitrei Torah is a third part, which is interesting because that means he's saying, he's putting up the Torah in front of us into story parts, and then other parts into legal parts, and then there doesn't seem to be a third part, so he calls that third part Sitrei Torah, and that would be the third part, and he says that's right. So that means that the Ritva and Rashi and this Gemara are saying there's something important about the idea of Torah being Tlitoi, of Torah being threefold, and these are the possibilities of how, in what way, it's threefold. So that being true, this man is a Bar Uyan Tlitoi, means he seems to be fully in control of the entirety of Torah, which everyone kind of Torah is meant that way. And he's also apparently wrote a long question in which he included a lot of issues about Safek and about Chazaka, who controls what, because and yet, Chazal Sofer says, I see that you know all that stuff, but in my situation, I don't think you have to worry about it. Why don't you have to worry about it in my situation? Because he sees no doubt that Yaakov is the one who bought the hide, the leather, is clearly in control of it, and he either doesn't have to give Nachum anything, or at most, if Nachum wanted to pay the 20 zehuvim that he owed him, that was the salary that he deserved for the time he spent buying this stuff, then you can figure out what that amount is according to experts. But that's I'm not going to paskin that part. But And there's no issue here of Safek or Chazaka. And therefore, he says, I didn't read your whole pilpul. Alkein lo karati klal pilpulo shalpulpule shalmalato mashi nogeya ladina didan. He said, so I didn't bother reading all of that. So man writes a whole long tshuva. He's trying to, I don't know if he's trying to impress the Chasam Sofer, or he's trying to point out to the Chasam Sofer that he knows this and try to suggest this and suggest that. But the Chasam Sofer's answer is, much of what you wrote is completely irrelevant, so I didn't even bother reading it. Because here it seems clear to me that I know the halacha. The halacha is that Yaakov, the guy who bought the hides, is in control of the situation. He really probably doesn't have to be a partner at all, but at the very least, this Nachum does in fact have to pay for his work time in doing it. How does he get to that conclusion? So now we come to his issues and the way he came to realize it. So he starts off with a discussion of, the question is, how do you know when it is that a partnership has begun such that each of the partners have responsibilities to each other and have an interest in the other one's merchandise? So the Rambam, in the fourth chapter of Hilchos Shluchim and Shutafim, says that a shutfut isn't set and finalized without a kinyan, without a proper kinyan, some kind of an act of acquisition, an act that declares that this is in fact a partnership that is established. And without that, even if both sides agree that they agreed to be partners, they can change their mind. Now, why would you change your mind? Well, one example is, let's say the merchandise turns out to be, all of a sudden you realize merchandise is not worth what you thought it was worth, or the other way around. Let's say you realize that it's worth a lot more than you thought it was worth. So then the partner on either side might say, I don't want to be a partner. So if the partnership has already been finalized, you're stuck, you're partners, you can't do anything about it. But here, the question is, if it's not finalized, then either one of them can go back. Even if they already bought the merchandise that was bought. Let's say the agreement was, I was going to buy leather, you were going to buy wool, and we were going to sell both together. But we didn't make a kinyan about it. But we each went off and bought our merchandise. So if we each went off and bought our merchandise, then we might think that it's already set because I've already done what was expected of me in the partnership. But the Chasam Sofer is pointing out that the Rambam is saying that it still doesn't matter. And therefore, let's say the person who bought the leather, all of a sudden there's a spike in the price of leather, so that his leather merchandise is going to make a much bigger profit than my wool merchandise. It doesn't matter. The partnership is not yet a partnership, and therefore the person can go back. And you can say, when I bought it, I really didn't mean to be part of the partnership. I meant it to be me. And when I spoke to him about it, I was just trying to make things, you know, keep things polite and pleasant between us, that I didn't get in a fight with him. That's what the Rambam said. The Rambam said everybody agrees to that, that you're required, that would be necessary. That would be a kinyan. You'd have to actually make an act to make an acquisition of the fact and prove to the fact that you have established this partnership, and it makes it happen. It is what creates the partnership in a halakhically required way. But the Maharam Mirutenberg, another important authority of about 100 years after, a little more than 100 years after the Rambam, but well accepted as an Ashkenazic authority, he says that it's true that just by an agreement won't set a partnership. So just if we say, our firm saying, yes, I will be your partner, or you're saying, yeah, right, where that won't do it. But mikomoko meitez divrehem heim heim kinyanam. It can create a kinyan, though, by their words, especially if people think of it that way. And the Maram says, the benefit or the pleasure they get from each other, from the fact that they agreed to something together, that will lead them to firmly and fully make the acquisition. In other words, the Maram thought that if we verbally agree and we make the agreement clear and we are certain about it, that will, in fact, be enough to establish a partnership such that the other people neither party can go back on it. They can say, no, I don't want to be partners. I want this merchandise all for myself. Or, no, I don't want to be partners. I don't want to be part of your merchandise because your merchandise is now worth much less than I thought it was going to be. So the Rambam thinks there's no partnership there, and the Maram thinks that the pleasure and the benefit of them agreeing that they're going to be together would be good enough to create a binding partnership. Now, that whole discussion is about the beginning of a partnership. But one might be able to argue that the Rambam would have to agree that if a partnership already happened, then you wouldn't need a further act of acquisition. Meaning, if we have agreed to be partners for a year on all merchandise that comes along, and then we do an act of kinyan on that partnership, and then 8 months into the year, some new merchandise comes along, the Chasam himself are saying, well, clearly, you wouldn't think that you need a new act of acquisition for a partnership for that. So then, and that's the Maharik says it, and so that would be a question of, let's say, and I'm sorry, the Mordechai says the name of Maharam also, the Yevah Gemara Bava Kama that says, if you have Chamarim who had an agreement among them, and then they agree to each other, so you have all these cases that suggest that if there's already a partnership already occurred, in those situations, then you don't need to have a new act of acquisition. So that would mean then, so first, he says, most of the posts hold like Maharam, but everyone agrees that with just words, it won't create a shift. So in our situation, if a man says to another man, let's buy something together as partners, the other person can disagree, can decide not to, even if you already bought it. Meaning, if I say to you, let's buy leather together as partners, and you say, okay, and I go buy the leather, and then I come back, and it turns out that I'm going to make a lot more than I thought I was going to make, then I can say, nah, we don't have a partnership. Why? Because just saying it is a partnership. The Maharam is going to hold that if we had a firm verbal agreement in some way, and the pleasure of us listening to each other would make us agree with each other, would be a benefit to each other of that agreement, then we could. So that's how the Rama also says it in Choshen Mishpat. He says, if you have umnim shenishtarfu, you have people who are in a trade who... if you have people who are in a trade who have an agreement to be partners together, even if they do a kinyan, the Rama says, they're not yet partners. That's because, this is the Abzar, the Shulchan Aruch still, she'ein adam makneh davar shelo ba'la olam, that you can't transfer property, you can't transfer acquisition on something that doesn't exist yet. She'ein ba'la olam. Okay? Now, the Rama adds that there are those who say that they can do so, and then those who say they don't need to do so because since they're already partners, then if they just said, you know, that we're going to continue this, that'll be good enough as well. So it gets complicated, these kinds of situations of how you do or don't establish a partnership. But the Rambam closes by saying, and all that's talking about people who are already partners together, aval, if we just agree that I'm going to give you half the profits from some kind of a situation, and the condition is that I'll give you half the money, and then, I'm sorry, I'll give you money, you'll go and do the buying and the selling, and we will share the property, the benefits equally. So that's like a gift, and it's not a full kinyan, and there would be the technical halakhic right. Doesn't mean it's good, but technically right to change your mind about that situation. So this thing about davar shelo ba'la olam, the Chasam Sofer points out, would also apply to, let's say, we agree to share future salary. Then we're going to go work together. You know, tips could be an issue in halachically, in terms of a pure halachic thing, that if we're going to try to say we'll share all the tips, it's also davar shelo ba'la olam, and therefore it's not clear halachically how one would force and would absolutely require people to hold on to an agreement to share their tips, because it's a davar shelo ba'la olam, and a partnership of that, a shutfut about that, he says, is locum, it's nothing. Whereas Maram thinks you could do something with it, because if you have a kinya and kal, if you have something where they listen to each other, and the fact that they listen to each other means and makes it okay for the two of them, they agree with each other and they're happy about it, that would be good enough. So where we are right now is, the Chassidus is pointing out that there is a basic machloket about how one creates and continues partnerships. The level of kinyan, the level of active acquisition required, the Maram thinks a much lower level, and then that will also allow it to things in the future. It'll create more of an obligation to share things in the future. Even though they're davar shelo ba'la olam, there might be room for them to include that in their partnership if they do the right kind of a kinyan. So that's where we stand. So now we're coming back to our people. So now the question is, what do we do with our people? Is really the question. Were they partners or were they not partners? If they were partners, then maybe whatever was included was already included. Maybe the leather was already part of the partnership because they had a pre-existing partnership. So he says, the Chasam Sofer, all that is when they had a real partnership. But if you have a minhag ha-sokhrim, so a minhag ha-sokhrim, a custom of merchants, so you can't change that, even if it's not din Torah, even if there's no Torah law about it, and their customs are Torah. That's a halacha that we have in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat in Reish Ayin Bet, in terms of assessing each other for money situations and for all sorts of things. The halacha really is that if you have a bunch of merchants, a bunch of people, and they interact all the time, and they have rules about how they interact and what their interactions are, and all those situations, whatever their rules are, count. But the Chasam Sofer is pointing out, but that would not be an issue of a shutfus. It's not a partnership. It's those are the rules of the minhag ha-sokhrim. So if there's a minhag ha-sokhrim about something, that would be an even stronger rule than we have now. And for the Rambam, it would be even stronger as well, because the Rambam thinks you need a full kinyan, you need a full active acquisition in order to create a partnership. And here he's saying, the Rambam would say, you don't need an active acquisition because it's the minhag ha-sokhrim, because that is the custom of the sokhrim, and we just follow whatever their customs are. Chasam Sofer also says he thinks this whole discussion would also be in partners when they're involved in the merchandise or the topic of the partnership. But partnerships aren't necessarily going to cover everything that a person does, right? If I have a partnership that you and I will paint together, we'll sell our paintings together, and then I happen to start doing sculpting, so what would I do? Was that necessarily included in the partnership? So the Chasam Sofer says it doesn't have to be that you have to include all of that in the partnership, unless Unless now, if I'm doing it on the side, it's not really part of the partnership, it's my own time. So then I can ask for you, I can ask you for, I can demand from you the time of compensation for my time and for my loss. If I, you know, put out money for the sculpting tools and you want to be part of the profits and you want to be part of selling it, then you have to pay me for my time and for my materials. So he says that shouldn't be part of that thing as well. So now, and that's similar to, apologize, to a Tshuvas HaRosh, to the tour site, which is that let's say that there's a Tshuvas HaRosh where he says something very similar. Let's say you're tanning hides to the point that they can be sold as leather, and then it's going to be part of a partnership. But the person who does the tanning part of it should be able to take extra from the partnership, at least the amount he could have profited if he had gone off to work for somebody else at that time, and that will be part of the partnership. So there's this idea of getting salary and getting benefit and getting paid for your own time, even if you're part of the partnership, if you're doing the work for it. It gets complicated, another halakha situation, but that he's saying here. So now, turning to our story, the Chasam Sofer says, so I asked merchants of that area of our town, and I asked what the rule is, what the customs are, and they said it's certainly true that if people are going to the market together, going to the market was a big deal because you used to have these central market days, and it was you'd have these big fairs, and they would last for a few days, and people would come from all over because they'd be guaranteed there'd be customers there, right? This is from a long, long time ago. So a long time ago, it went. Transportation wasn't so simple and stuff like that, that it was easier if people would meet at a central place every once in a while, and in the course of meeting at that central place, they could sell their wares and be guaranteed that they'd have the customers around to do it. So getting there could be a problem for people, and it was an expense. So sometimes people would join in the expense, and they would pay for the carriage or whatever it was together. And they had agreed that those people who would join together in a carriage or in a transportation, they would also share all the profits. So if I have wool and you have wool, by joining together in a carriage, what we're saying is we'll share the profits. Even if they were never partners before and they didn't actually say anything other than we're renting the carriage together. Renting the carriage together meant we're becoming partners for the extent of bringing this merchandise to market. And if you think about it, in the original story, Nachum had said that because when they were on the road, Nachum had found an opportunity to buy some extra wool. And then Yaakov said, I want to be part of this. And I said, of course you're part of it. That's part of the deal. That's what we do when we rent a carriage together. So Mischar HaTzemer, so the business stuff that Nachum did along the way, that's obviously belongs to Rav Yaakov as well, because that's part of the custom. And nobody disagrees with about that. And he says, and he also can't ask for any salary for that, because remember, when it came to the leather, this Yaakov had said, I'm only going to be willing to even go into partnership with you if you're going to pay me the 20 gold pieces that are cost and time and all that kind of stuff. So maybe Rav Nachum should have been able to say, this extra wool that I bought at the stop along the way, I should have gotten salary for. So the Chasam Sofer says, no, that you can't do because it was on the road. He wasn't doing anything else, and he wasn't taken away from anything else, right? So whatever they're going to benefit is the benefit for the two of them. But when it comes to the leather, right, once they got to the market, then those were times when this Yaakov could have been selling his own wool. And Chasam Sofer says, I checked with merchants and I asked them what their rules are. And they said, nobody has the idea that anything that comes along the way, any revach that happens along the way will be shared equally. There's no such thing. And that once they get to the new market and the market and they sell their wool, that it's all over between them, even though this was the custom of the merchants, even though the sachar, the money that they paid for the agalah, for the carriage, was both ways. They paid for the way there and the way back. So you might have thought, well, that means that their agreement to share everything applies to both ways, but that is not, in fact, the custom of the merchants. That's what the Chasam Sofer finds out from investigating with the merchants. It doesn't matter. The partnership is only for all of the merchandise going to the market, and from there, it's not. And then the Chasam Sofer makes sense, and it makes sense because once you get to market and you sell your wool, that's all you had agreed on to begin with. The direction people go afterwards with their buying and selling, that's up to each of them. Now, they could agree to become partners going forward, but they'd have to agree with a Kenyan or not a Kenyan or whatever you'd have to do. So he says, if that's true in where you are from as well, then it would seem very clear that their partnership ended when they got to the market. So when it came to the leather, there's no assumption that there are partners. And Rav Nachum has no right to say to Rav Yaakov that we obviously are partners by virtue of us having rented the carriage together. So the only thing is that when Rav Yaakov said to him, should I buy hide, so should I buy leather and we'll be partners in the leather, that even if he said yes to Rav Nachum right away, and Rav Yaakov had explicitly agreed, then there's still a problem because there's no obvious shibud that made to each other, and therefore there's no clear way that this partnership was founded. So you could say, according to the Bahram, which he thinks is most poskim, according to the Bahram, which is most poskim, with whom most poskim agreed, you could say, if there's the hana'a, the benefit and the pleasure from agreeing and following each other's words and following each other's ideas, so then you could say that maybe there's shutfim. But the problem is that everybody's agreeing that originally Rav Nachum hadn't agreed to it. So there's nothing that would create in this Yaakov fellow a need to be partners with Nachum because Nachum hadn't agreed. And even if he did agree, and even if they had agreed, Yaakov would have the right to the money that he lost by virtue of spending the time on this, because obviously that's true of all these partnerships. So basically, you have in Choshen Mishpatish, but often are difficult for people because they want money, and money is an important thing to people. So you have in this tshuva of Rechasem Sofer's this question of how do we handle partnerships and how do we know when a partnership is created or not? Because remember that there are times when partnerships are created. Everybody is a partner for as long as they want to be. They all agree about it, and they share the profits, and they're all happy, and they're great friends forever. But sometimes things go wrong along the way, and different people come to believe that they have different rights within the partnership. Here was one of those situations. The way there, everything worked out well. Everybody agreed about what the rules were. And when it got to be a question of the leather and what to do with it afterwards. And then the Chatam Sofer points out, number one, the customs of merchants do rule situations, and we do follow them. In this case, the custom was only that the partnership would last until they got to the market, even if they had rented the carriage for the way out, for the way back as well. So that's not going to help the Nachum who wants to be in on the hides. And then when it comes to partnerships, the Rambam thought you need a full Kenyan, and even the Maharam thought you would need more of an agreement that they had here. And therefore, Chazal Sofer thinks it's very clear, without looking into anything else, that this Yaakov has the right to the leather and to all the profits from the leather. And at best, if he wants to be nice about it and he wants to say there was a partnership, Nachum would have to pay him for his schar batala, for the time and the effort he put into it and for the money that he had put into the situation. And then when he reimburses him for that, then they could be partners on the hides. And that is a responsible day for the 20th of Menachem, Av Tuf Kuf Tzadi Vav of 1836. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow, 21st of Av. 20th of Av, Chazal Sofer, partnerships being created or not created. Have a great day.